All right, let's get her going on the National Hour off the rails Friday, live on Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365, Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. We heard Willie Nylander the other day talking about the Leafs' three-game losing streak with what's the big deal, really? And that's what we are right now. What's the big deal, really, on our show, Real Kipper and Bourne? Doug McLean is back.
It's a big deal.
It's a big deal.
We've missed
Where
him.
Has he been?
When's the last time he was on?
I don't know. November?
Where are we?
What time is it?
Is he starting to blow us off just because we're not paying him? Is that the only reason?
Is that really reason to not come to work?
Is it?
Probably.
Tons to get into, including a story that I couldn't even imagine that it could, the flames could get, you know, hotter in Vancouver when it comes to the story with JT Miller and Pettersson.
Yeah.
But last night we saw them lose quite handily, and we saw JT Miller at the end of the bench, and we're going, okay, is this break point time here in Vancouver?
You know, radio podcast is in an opinion format. It's too long. So I'm just going to go ahead and give mine here on JT Miller, which is he gone. I just, watching that guy and having seen how it ended in other places and knowing his, like, emotional level that he gets to, that to me, you know, talk it sends him to the other end of the bench for a sit down. His media interview is not great. I don't think he's going to win the, is it Pettersson or Miller staying? I think he's gone.
Yeah, it's bad. Like, I sent you guys a clip from, I saw last night of him on the shift of their second goal, the LA Kings. And he's just not locked in. Like, he's just, like, it's a bit of a float around. It's a bit of a fire poker, not much moving of the feet. You see every availability of him. It's a bad situation. I was listening to Halford and Brough this morning. They put out a clip of just talking about how it's gotten to this mess.
Listen to that if you're.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great
fantastic
show
radio
and
show.
Clip.
But, like, a lot of it is right. How did the organization let it get to this point? Like,
gotta sort this out.
It had to have been sorted out, no, Kip? Like, how does it get to this point?
I think they just kind of left it out there for them to somehow sort it out. And I don't know how far that goes back. It certainly, to me, didn't happen like last week. But could it have been as early as November, December, where they didn't want to kind of put an end to that one way or another? Even if you got to fake it till you make it, bring them out together. Much like a Brad Marchand, put it to rest on Pasternak. It's not like anyone's dwelling on that story in Boston.
It's over.
Moved on.
Right?
It's over.
I hadn't even thought about it.
But they didn't want to do that in Vancouver. It's like, well, we're not telling you there's something there, but we're also telling you that there's something not there.
Yeah, there's something so not quite right that we're not really able to address it directly. Like, it just...
But I was texting with you guys about this. Like, it's not really in Jim Rutherford's nature to wait around.
No, he's a pretty honest, forthright guy. You think he'd be like, here's what's up, here's what we're doing.
Made a million big trades in his career. It just surprises me that they let it fester this far. And it's hurting them. I mean, God, they're fight to make the playoffs now.
Well, and there's so many teams in the playoff run that the longer you let it go, you see teams every year miss playoffs by a point or two, and they're going to be one of those teams, it looks like, battling for those final spots. It just feels to me like it's one or the other here, and the team, you know, the GM signed Pettersson recently to that big deal. Anyway, let's talk to someone who knows more than me.
Yeah, we'll get more on this story. So let's bring in Doug McLean, former NHL president, GM, head coach, and the star of, I don't know, whatever we do here on Fridays, on days that he actually wants to show up and work.
I think you should run that clip or run that question and answer thing more instead of me. I mean, that was theater. That was real theater. Listen to those
guys.
Did
you leave one, Doug? We didn't come across your call.
Oh, my God. I didn't know it was a part of it. I haven't been around, but I mean, I've been besieged by people because I haven't shown up for this show the last 3 weeks. I mean, seriously, guys, you got to come up with something else to fire this group up besides me because I'm busy.
You are really busy. You're doing podcasts. You're also, last I heard, you had this big power lunch in Del Rey there. Did it happen? What can you tell us about this big power lunch that you had?
It was a power coffee break at Starbucks, and it was myself, Dale Tallon, Ron Hextall, and Jeff Rimmer. Why would Jeff Rimmer be there? Number one, like because he organized it. But what happened? So I get up this morning. I'm all excited about heading out, and you know, seeing the boys. George McPhee, by the way, just lives a block from me. We'll have to involve him too to help guys out. I know Tallon was excited that I could give him some feedback on what I thought of Vancouver. Hextall, just more about restaurants in Delray where he could go. but anyway, it was canceled because Jeff Rimmer's water heater broke. So it was canceled.
Okay. So like,
seriously. Now, Rimmer, he lives out in the boondocks. He lives in Boynton Beach, which I never go to unless I really have to. And I said, why do we have to go to the Starbucks in Boynton Beach where you live? Why not go to the Starbucks in Delray? Well, you know why? Because he's scared when he parks his Porsche, it'll get scratched. So we have to go out where there's a huge parking lot. You know, like, come on. I mean, what a joke.
There's no better bit than you burying Rimmer.
I didn't get to go to it. You know, Rimmer's water tank was more important than water heater. So I didn't make it. So maybe I'll report on it next week. But I love the fact that so many people want advice. And I was chuckling listening to your guy with all the great superstars that have come into work. A buddy of mine was at a group of CEOs met. Brendan Shanahan spoke to them recently, and he was telling them that he's actually helping with the power play now.
Is that right?
I mean, we know Brendan was really good with the power play. Have you guys seen him on the ice, or is it just off ice he's doing things? You guys would be scared to say anything. But anyway, so it reminded me of when I was coaching the Panthers, and Mr. Huizenga come down after a game, and he said, you know, a couple of things I don't like about the team. And he said, I was sitting with Jack Nicklaus at the game tonight, and he was giving me all kinds of tips on what's wrong with your team. And I said, Jack Nicklaus, the golfer, was giving you tips about what's wrong with my team? He said, yeah, Jack Nicklaus, the golfer, who, by the way, is an expert in everything. I knew that from being in Columbus. But Jack, so there's a lot of people give a lot of advice in the hockey business. I happen to get it from Jack Nicklaus. I still can't hit the ball over 210 yards. He didn't give me any tips in golf, but he wanted to help me with my hockey team. And I really appreciated that. So Brendan hopefully is helping with the power play. You know, I mean, look, he's got enough experience. He was a terrific power play player. So hopefully, look, it's all hands on deck. I watched the Leafs last night, okay, and I'm thinking, what am I missing? They're the same team as I've watched the last 4 years. Same identity. Where's this new game, this new style?
It was there for 42 games.
What?
It was there for 42 games.
Right.
They're just going to find the balance now.
Matthews was out for 20 of them. He didn't play 20 of them. So, and, you know, I mean, I don't know. I'm looking. I'm thinking, okay, if these guys don't do it again, if Matthews, Nylander, Marner don't do it for them, how are they going to win in the playoffs, guys? How are they going to win in the playoffs? They did it last night in the last few minutes of the game. Can they do it? Can they finally break through and get it done?
All right, I got to ask you, if the Golden Bear was talking to Jimmy Rutherford, what kind of advice would he give him in Vancouver?
Probably the same he's trying to tell Huizenga, fire the coach. No, look, I don't know. It is a goofy situation there. I'm even hearing Demko doesn't want to really play. I mean,
what does that mean?
I know he's been injured. But I mean, I watched last night. I mean, 3-0 before the game even starts. I mean, this guy is the backbone of their team. I mean, what's going on with his injury situation? Where's his head right now with respect to playing? I'll tell you, they've got to fix a few things in Vancouver real fast. And to let it percolate this long is beyond me. Miller leaves the team for a month for whatever reason. He comes back. Him and Pettersson have to go out in front of the media. Like, come on, this isn't Jimmy Rutherford style. This isn't Rick Tocchet style. Where is this coming from? Fix this once and for all. Either trade one of them or tell them to figure it out real fast, because it's becoming a joke. And the team is really suffering from what I can see.
Do you think the debate is, should we trade them? Which one should we trade? Or the debate is internal between GM, coach, whatever. They can't decide what direction to go. What do you think the holdup is?
I which one do you trade? One guy is, 29, 31 Miller.
It's 5 years difference.
They've got to figure it out with Pettersson. And, you know, his game has not been there. We know what Miller brings to the table. We know how gritty he is, how hard he works. We know all those things. But if it's not going to work, make a break, boys. Make a break and end it and move on and bring in some assets that are going to be equal to what you trade out. Jimmy Rutherford has been one of the greatest traders in the history of the game. He's a winner. Talk's a real good coach. Hughes is a stud, but I mean, I'm telling you, boys, this is not pretty, and it doesn't look good, and it's got to be fixed. And if Demko, am I hearing that?
You're hearing that he's not confident about his health situation, that he doesn't want to play. Like, can you elaborate on a little bit more on what you meant by he doesn't want to play?
I, like I'm telling you, boys, as Mom used to say, as Fran McLean, my mother used to say, I'm only telling you what I heard, boys. I'm not telling you it's the truth. You know, so make sure you have that caveat. I hear that he's not that excited to get in the net right now. And I'm sure it's not the injury, because I know the Canucks would make sure that's 100% before he's getting in there. But he's got to be a motivated goaltender to get in. He's the backbone of this team. As recently as a year or two ago. I mean, so let's hope that he is 100% healthy and he's ready to play and wants to play.
I can't believe it's for that whole lineup. They're overly excited to go back in that room with the things that are going on.
Well, so strange, right? Given how great they were last year and the way that Rutherford run things with that leadership, like, it just feels strange that things are so off for the Canucks.
Yeah. And you know, you've got Hughes at the top of his game. Although, look, enough of Hughes. Awesome. And I love Hughes. Like, I love Hughes. But let's start talking a little bit about Werenski. I mean, he wasn't even listed in the top five for the Norris. He's the best. He's the best defenseman in the NHL right now. Based on what he's done.
Better than Makar and Quinn Hughes?
Based on what he's done right now, 15 goals. He's the reason the Blue Jackets are where they are.
He's good.
He has been damn good, boys, and you guys aren't giving him enough credit.
Up until a week ago, you weren't either.
You spend too much time on Morgan Riley's. You know, move over to Zach and talk about him for a while, about him black tape on his stick blacked out. Like,
we're moving on. Seriously. We're moving on to John Klingberg now in Edmonton, right?
Excited about that for the Oil?
Is that a good gamble?
I'm excited. I'll tell you what I'm excited about. I'm excited about there's one mission for the Edmonton Oilers, and that's to win the Stanley Cup.
Right.
And that's John, or I should say, Connor McDavid. Somebody said to him recently, what do you want for your birthday? What do you think I want for my birthday? Come on. I want the Stanley Cup. And there's other superstars in the league that they want to start a clothing line. I mean, come on. This guy wants to win the Stanley Cup, and others want to be in the cover of GQ and start a clothing line. I mean,
did I miss something?
I don't know.
Who's
Connor doing... McDavid wants to win the Cup.
I know.
When I watch the Leafs, and you got to, I mean, look, you, I mean,
it's a Matthews joke. Is that what it is?
Are you suggesting Matthews wants to?
I wasn't talking about Matthews there.
Who wants his clothing line?
Why would you say that, Justin? Why would you try to get me in trouble?
Well, GQ was the first hint, I think.
Anyway,
do you like the gamble for Klingberg? I don't think he's played in like 14 months.
I don't mind the gamble. I don't mind the gamble. I keep thinking of what he was like in Dallas, you know, where he was good. If he's 100% healthy, they need help on their back end. They need another defenseman. Can he do it? I've got to believe they've checked him out health-wise. I don't mind the move. I think it's an easy gamble. There's enough time before the deadline that they can fix this. So I think it's a decent move.
Let's skip around Canada a little bit. I want to ask you about Lane Hutson. Montreal is 8-1-1 in their last 10. They are red hot.
And he looks like the next Quinn Hughes.
He doesn't have all the other parts of his game, but he moves like Quinn Hughes, not many people in the league can say.
Yeah, you know what? I haven't watched him that much, to be quite honest. But, I'd heard lots about him prior to coming to Montreal, how good he could be. I'm just blown away by the Habs. And you know, we set the tone. We got Marty to stop jogging in the stands talking to the media.
Good for us.
We got him away from that. We got him refocused on coaching and not worried about his conditioning. And, you know, I think, look, full marks to them. They've done a good job and they've played really well. The kid in goal has been really good. There's been a lot of positives there. And you know, Lane has been a big part of that too. And Line A comes in. I mean, I watched Kirby Doc walk in and score a beautiful goal the other night. I'm thinking, look, they've got a lot of things going well for them right now. But there's some teams at the bottom. I'm telling you guys, the Leafs, the way they're playing right now, and I know they struggle a little bit. It was a big win last night. But these teams, Ottawa, Columbus, Montreal, Detroit, these teams are playing better than the teams in front of them in the standings right now. And it comes back to who's going to get in and what's that first round going to be like and how tough are those first rounds going to be for the big boys like the Leafs and so on. So we'll see.
Who do you like, Mac, out of the group of Montreal, Ottawa, and Detroit? Boston, do you think they can still muster enough?
I think Boston and Tampa are on the bubble as to whether they're going to make the playoffs, guys. I really do. I think I look at Ottawa. They haven't got a goal scorer in the top 30. Stutzel's number 30 or so in scoring in the league, and he's a plus six. They're playing a really solid game. They've been getting good goaltending recently from the kid, and you got to hope Allmark's going to be back. They're a different team. They're playing different. So I think from a talent perspective, I'm going to take Ottawa because of Tkachuk and a few of the kids. I think they're the better team right now. And, that game last night in Washington, I didn't watch a whole lot of it, but it looked like a heck of a game. And they're playing. I mean, Travis Green, full marks, has got them playing really well right now. He's got an experienced coaching staff with Yo there and a couple of guys. I think they're going to be – I would not want to play them in the first round. That's the one team I would not want to play in the first round. And I think Tampa and Boston are still, I mean, they should get in. Swayman should get Boston in. Vasilevsky, Kucherov, and company should get, and Hedman should get Tampa in. But right now, both those teams look pretty fragile to me.
I'd be, I think five teams from the Atlantic end up making playoffs. We'll wait and see exactly who that is. Detroit kind of doing well, Montreal also. Yeah. Let's just ask you about Toronto. We don't get you in the first hour all that often, so love to get your thoughts on where that...
You don't get me in the second hour all that often.
Not enough for our liking, Doug. But, you know, they went through a little slump there, and the superstars and coach are all going, everyone relax. How do you feel about the mentality there that they handled sort of a downturn with?
I didn't mind it. I think, it's Toronto's a tough market. As we all know, I think it was okay. I think it was handled well. McCabe wasn't in there. I love the 10 of McCabe combo as a shutdown pair. I still don't think their back end is good enough to be a Stanley Cup contender. I really don't. I mean, Timmins and Myers, and I mean, Benoit. I mean, I don't dislike them, but that's not a Stanley Cup back end. Morgan Riley's game is not where it should be. I don't know if it's Berube, if it's the defensive side that's taken away his offense. I don't know what it is, but they've got to figure it out and they've got to get him going, because how many teams win Stanley Cups without a number one defenseman? And right now, guys, they don't have a number one defenseman.
So
they,
Matt,
do not have a big time defender.
Either in today's game or in your era, like when you know that historically there's been a lot more out of a player, and you wait, you try different things, but you wait. Like, when do you know that someone's just not going to come back again, or they are just what they are today? And I specifically say about Morgan Riley. Like, is he still, can he still be a 60 or 70 point guy in this league, or have things changed?
I'm caught off guard because of the, to me, it's been a really sudden drop off. I've always been a Morgan Riley fan, and I've always said he was a great number 2-3 guy, never a number one guy, but a really good 2-3 type guy. I don't know what's caused this unbelievable drop off. I cannot figure it out. And I feel bad because I think he's a quality veteran on this hockey team and a well-liked guy, but it's all about what you do in the 60 minutes. And he hasn't performed anywhere close to what he has to be. Is he focused on playing too much defense? Is he, you know, he'd be scared to death to make a stretch pass after you two guys ripped the stretch pass. Like, I mean, I listened to your analysis prior and I'm thinking, what? Okay. Anyway.
You like the stretch pass?
I really like it when it works.
Yeah. Who doesn't?
Yeah.
But it can't be your only breakout. You know, it can't be your number one breakout. But look, I feel for Morgan, but they can't seem to find the right guy to play with him. I don't know. He's got to be better. That's all I know, because you don't win unless your defense is better than Toronto's, and it's not good enough for me. And their bottom six, Bobby McMahon. I heard you comparing yourself to Bobby McMahon. Are you serious? Like, I love you as a player, but your feet compared to Bobby McMahon's was like comparing Morgan Riley's feet to his wife's. Not even close. Okay?
That's fair enough.
My weekend just started right now.
Bobby McMahon may be the best bottom six forward in the NHL today.
Whoa.
Based on what I've seen lately.
Whoa.
I watched Colorado last night. Colorado's bottom six may be the worst bottom six in the NHL. And
whoa.
Bobby McMahon may be one of the top bottom six players in the game right now.
Well, all right then.
You don't think, so you don't take Colorado seriously as a cup contender unless they improve somewhere in the bottom six?
I think they've got to improve their bottom six a lot. I'm still not sold on their goaltending, and I'm still not sold on Mittelstadt as a number two centerman. So, you know, I hope they do well, because Chris McFarland was with me for 11 years in Columbus, and I love the kid, but the GM. But I just don't think right now they're good enough. And look, McKinnon is unbelievable. Rantanen, I don't know if they get Rantanen done. How are they gonna get him signed? Which is going to be a real challenge. You don't want to have that going on your plate going into the playoffs. So there's some things that got to get fixed there.
Just on, you know, whether it's Marner, Rantanen, Bennett, like, are we still in the world where these guys have no choice? They gotta keep them and hope that they can work out a contract or let them go for nothing. We're still in that same place that we've been in years past, where you're okay for them to rent their own player, even on the chance that they may leave July 1st, or do you have to move them?
How can the Leafs not stay with Marner and give it a shot to try to win the Stanley Cup?
I'll tell you how they cannot. You lose in the first round. That's how you cannot.
If you lose, yeah. If you lose in the first round, you're not going to have to worry about it. Management, probably including the president, may not have to worry about it if they lose in the first round, because that will be really ugly. Colorado, big time pressure to win in Colorado. They're not going to move Rantanen before the deadline unless you get an unbelievable opportunity to make the right trade to move a Rantanen, a Marner, or a Bennett. You've got to get the right deal because those teams are all expected to challenge for the Stanley Cup.
Three-way trade.
I don't know how they can do it. So I don't know how they can do it. That's big-time pressure on ownership, on management. And, Mitch, whether you like him or not, he's been one of their best. He's been basically their best player all year round, is he not?
He's been good.
He's been good. Very good at times.
All right, let's continue handicapping Canadian teams. You like the Jets, Connor Hellebuck in the Hart Trophy race this year. Kind of feels like, I don't know, he could have one of those years, Doug, that propels a pretty good team to great things.
Yeah, he's been so good, but that's gone on for a long time. Is he ready to break out and get it done? Losing to Colorado last year with the goaltending Colorado had, to me, was a devastating thing for that franchise.
Yeah.
They've been really good this year. They're powerful. I'm watching Kyle Connor play. I mean, how good has this kid been? And Scheifele's been good. And they look like Adam Lowry's one of the best captains in the league, and for me, one of the best leaders in the game for me. Morrissey, look, has played terrific. I really like the Jets. I just have a hard time. I have a hard time seeing them coming out. Look, I'll tell you who's a hell of a team, boys, is L.A. Kings. The way that team's playing right now, they're a pretty tough team to beat. So, you know, I just – it's not going to be easy to come out of the West. And I still have Edmonton coming out for fun at the end of the day. I really do. Connor McDavid is just too good.
So good.
Can I just say that Kempe's the best underrated player –
He's a legitimate underrated star in the league.
Underrated beyond belief.
And we don't know him because we don't see them enough. You know, I don't, especially as a senior citizen on Social Security and Medicare. I can't stay up to watch the Kings. I'm sorry. That
guy's got five homes and he's pulling from the government. What a world.
Hey, anyway. Your next get together with Dale Tallon and Ron Hextall. Can I make a suggestion?
Yeah.
That instead of going for coffee at Starbucks, start a podcast called "How We Got Screwed by the NHL."
Oh, I can't wait to sit with them. Why aren't we working? And I was going to drop a couple bombshells on them because I've heard this week about two GMs that are going to, you know, that could potentially be fired here shortly. So I was going to bring that up just to get them fired up. You know, there we go. We'll be back in it. We'll be back in it soon. This show in Sportsnet has ruined my opportunity of ever getting back. I've got so many people pissed off at me that I'll never get another sniff, you know? Kevin Adams wouldn't even hire me. Who the hell's going to hire me?
Listen, you're the only ex-president or GM in the history that's come on TV with no thought of getting back in. Zero. Which is good for us.
Gary.
Great.
Just
really
check
good.
With Gary and Bill. Just check with Gary and Bill. Yeah. Exactly.
You know, not that we're suggesting anyone's going to lose their job, but do you expect the New York Islanders to start selling pieces off sooner than later? And if there's so many buyers still out there thinking that they're going to make the playoffs, why wouldn't you jump on early on the New York Islanders?
I think the Islanders are going to, it's some big, big decisions with the Islanders. There's no denying that. They are an ugly team to watch. I'm like Dobson's a kid from my hometown. I watched him play the other night. This kid had 70 points last year. And I'm thinking, what is going on here with this team? They're a team that, right now, there's a ton of pressure. And I'll tell you another team that's under the gun big time is Seattle. This, of a sudden, you know, Seattle is, you know, because of Vegas's, you know, success and some of these franchises coming in, there's a ton of pressure on Ronnie Francis right now. And, you know, I didn't like his coach hire. I like Danny Bausman as a guy. I didn't like the hire. I don't know who can take over there. I don't think his assistant has enough experience yet to take over. But, you know, I think it's I think there's a ton of pressure there. I really do. So we'll see what shakes out.
Okay, so what's the deal? Back to the pool, a nap,
so
take your medication?
I swim for 45 minutes a day. And I'm down there. I've got my headset on. I'm listening to Zach Bryan. And all of a sudden, in my earpiece, I've got the waterproof earpieces. And in my earpiece, incoming call, incoming call. I'm halfway across the pool. And I all of a sudden, it's Nick Kyprios wanting to do a prelude to the show.
But I'm just I'm making sure you don't bail on us.
I know, but I've got my physical, you know, I've got to look after myself. And the swimming is a huge part of that. I walk the beach in the morning. I swim, I do my weights, I do my yoga. I can't be interrupted during those sessions, you know?
Kip?
I just go back to the pool and finish then. This is your, let me tell you something.
Tonight I'm going okay. To, it's called Broadway Night at Delray Dunes Country Club tonight. Jill and I are going to Broadway Night, so I'm very excited about it.
Top priority on Fridays, okay? Top priority from here on in is our show. You understand that, don't you?
I know. Look, I took heat going through the Canadian airport, going through Toronto airport. By the way, I'm coming back from Prince Edward Island. I go through security. I go through customs. And then I find out I left my suitcase at security.
Okay.
I had to go back.
You're officially old.
Anyway, it's a long story.
We got to go. Flight. Get out of here.
Thanks, guys, look, I really appreciate you having me on. I really do, and thanks a million.
Thanks.
Good luck. Go Leafs.
Doug
thanks,
McLean.
Oh, my God.
Right into the ditch.
That's one of his all-time better, well, more unhinged appearances. I thoroughly enjoyed that.
Let's go to break, and then we'll do everything on the other side.
You're the boss.
Hit the break, bro.
Thanks, Mac.
More after the break.
Dive deep into Toronto sports and the NFL. The J.D. Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Strut run to our show. A reminder, this hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365, which takes us right into game time.
I got a couple things for you. I'll start with the Four Nations face-off, which is coming up soon. It's time for the ultimate international showdown, the NHL Four Nation face-off from February 12th to 20th. Canada, Finland, Sweden, and the USA will face off in Montreal and Boston as the NHL's best players represent their country on the world stage. Rogers is a proud partner and fan of Canada's team, and they've got a special treat for you. Through their Beyond the Seat program, Rogers is giving you a chance to win a VIP trip to a Four Nations face-off game. That's right. Four lucky winners will score a pair of tickets plus travel and accommodations with a new winner selected every week until February 7th. Want in? Head to rogers.com/Four Nations to enter for your chance to win. And don't forget, fans across Canada can watch every game of the Four Nations face-off exclusively on Sportsnet and Sportsnet Plus.
Ooh, what a trip.
Oh, my God.
Dude, how excited are you for McDavid, Crosby, McKinnon, same team? Like, how fun.
Incredibly excited.
Like,
I've been talking about this for 4 years on our show. Like, it's like the four-year face-off for me.
Glad we got bending your ear in there before we...
And now it's game time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app, latest odds, and find out why it's ever ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19+. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. When you guys were talking to Doug, he was talking about the about Zach Werenski as the best defenseman in the NHL. So if you believe that, you could get some excellent value on him as a Norris Trophy winner. Where do you think, wow, actually, you know what, Doug? Might be onto something here. It is Quinn Hughes at plus 150, Cale Makar at plus 150, and Zach Werenski at plus 210.
That might be the worst way you could spend your money.
On a Zach Werenski?
On a low payout bet on Zach Werenski, well, healthy Hughes and Makar are killing it.
Yeah.
And the next
it should be better than
should
that.
Should be better. You should be able to get more money if you're right.
Yes.
On.
The next closest is Josh Morrissey at plus 10,000.
Oh my.
So it's, they believe it's one of those three.
Clearly
and
in
Jacob Chychrun tied
spot.
With that. Jacob Chychrun is the next two. So
Chychrun.
Tons of guys there.
Is Chychrun going to cash in Washington as well?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Is he UFA? Straight up UFA? No, no other years?
UFA.
Oh, my God. Good timing. He got out of Ottawa and started lighting it up.
I think you know what?
I think he is.
I think he is, too.
Maybe
he's in Washington.
Is somebody looking that up?
I am, yeah.
In Washington, or I'm sorry, in Ottawa, the thought was that they had 2 years left, two full years.
Mm-hmm. Talk about a dream contract here.
So this was the last year. Smokes.
He's only 26. He's going to get eight rich. Times, whatever it is. He's getting.
And he
eight.
Loves it there, too. So I see him not going anywhere.
So the Jack Adams Award, interesting here. The favorite, you just mentioned the same team. Heavy, heavy favorite, Spencer Carberry, -550 on Bet365. John Hines is next closest, +700. Dean Evason, +900. And if you want to find Craig Berube, you could get him at +10,000. Way down the list. Not a ton of belief in old Berube for the Jack Adams.
Jeez.
And the last one I'll bring up here, because it's kind of close, the Hart Trophy, tons of talk about Hellebuck. Here's how I'm so sick to my stomach that Leon Draisaitl is the favorite for the Hart, +300. And when we talked about it, what was it?
+2,500. That was like a month ago.
Ouchie, ouchie. I didn't bet it. I don't feel dumb. Nathan MacKinnon, +325. Connor McDavid, +375. And Connor Hellebuck, +400. So that's how they've listed it. And Kirill Kaprizov right below there at +600. But he's probably missed too much time now.
The Berube thing is interesting because in Toronto, where most of the eyeballs are, anyone does well, it gets blown up, right? And, you know, they had a hot second half and, you know, won the East.
Yeah. Yeah, it's something there.
It's not the worst bet.
Anyways, that was Game Time presented by Bet. That was Game Time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds to find out why it's ever ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Okay, we were a little excited in our first hour with those live call-ins on our hotline, which we should do one for our second hour as well.
We should do an NHL version of Leafs line.
Yeah.
Leo, stop playing with the dog. Get dressed. Go to school.
Someone mocking
Will in Montreal.
Crushed it. And then the second hour, Doug McClain. But did we miss out on telling people to text us?
It's text day.
We did get some good. We do. I mean, people are texting the show constantly. Mm-hmm. It's just not in, you know, people are texting.
Well, we still got 10, 12 minutes to throw in a text message.
Yeah, if we don't respond to your text, just know that Sammy does read them all and often tells us about them.
Yeah, but, yeah. I read literally all your texts every day. How about this? Rick from Manitoba. Anaheim Ducks in the rebuild. Do you think they would move Trouba? I could see him going to the Florida Panthers.
I said that when he went there.
We had that conversation.
Did we?
Yes.
Yeah, we did.
Oh, sorry, I forgot.
Whether or not it was a true, we want you, we need you for the next few years, or is it just a holding pattern to maybe excite another team to, depending how desperate they are. And the one thing that we know is that there's no real legit top four minute munchers at 18, 20 minutes with a right-handed shot that are available. It's just, it's really hard to find it.
So let me ask you, we had the Morgan Riley is not a true number one conversation. Maybe Trouba's not a true number one, but do you think the Leafs would ever pursue a higher end D to help out the back end?
Or well, is it Trouba's a shutdown guy, right?
Yeah. He's,
to me, again, it would probably be
Tanev, higher, Cabe, Trouba.
A little higher end.
It's a lot of shutdown. A lot of down shutting.
You know? Yeah. And this is Klingberg that guy now for the Edmonton Oilers, where it's spend $1 million.
I don't love the Klingberg thing for the Oilers. You got Bouchard on the power play, he's wonderful, wins him a game with a slapper yesterday.
Game-winning goal.
Yeah.
Bouchard?
And he says he took something off it, too.
That goal that
So he can play. I don't know, did you see the body language of Bouchard? Like, if you go back and look at that game-winning goal with McDavid behind the net, he's already got his stick cranked.
Oh, buddy.
Right?
He's not like, what should I do with it if it comes to me?
But you know at that point, like he's surveyed the whole situation. There's not an AV player within 30 feet of him.
Yeah.
And you know what McDavid's going to do? He's just going to put it right on a tee.
Right in there. Yeah.
And it's unstoppable. You know it's coming. Everybody could see it's coming.
Yeah.
And he's got that. Bouchard's got that it factor like Ovechkin's had his whole career. You know it's coming. You can see it coming, and there's still not a damn thing you can do about it.
No.
And he just put it in such a perfect spot, right above the blocker, just hammered it as hard. Like, he's, listen, I don't think he should be on Team Canada. He's very good. And there's probably people in Edmonton who think he should have been on Team Canada, but we were talking about the Four Nations. They should have taken Zach Hyman.
90-plus mile-per-hour shots this year. Bouchard leads the league with 45 of them.
Wow.
45 rips.
Who's
over 90.
Closest? Ovi?
Hedman has 38. Tage Thompson is the only forward in the top 10. I'll be talking about him on Hockey Central next after this. 27. And Carlson, Makar, Pulak, Yossi, Wallman, Montour, Edmonds.
Makar hits him that hard, eh?
He hits it. Wow.
Speaking of Makar and Colorado, kind of surprised that Doug, like, kind of bailing on Colorado a little bit.
Worst bottom six in the NHL, I think he said. And then expressed some other skepticism about Mittelstadt as their 2C, which is basically expressing a lot of doubt about their forward core. Landeskog coming back?
Well,
what do you say?
I just had a couple more tax points.
Oh, yeah. Okay, we can do that.
Okay, no, let's just touch on Landeskog a little bit because he is on the ice. I don't think he's practicing regularly, but there's some people that are seeing some progression. I'm still very skeptical.
Oh, yeah.
And not that I could judge anything off the internet, but whatever I saw him skating, it looked like a kind of that young Forrest Gump scene where he's got braces on and then he's running out of them, but he just doesn't hit full speed.
Okay.
So you know?
It didn't look like a natural stride.
It didn't
return
look,
to the
little,
ice.
Little hawk and paw to him.
It didn't look like, you know, he was digging in.
Yeah, I guess that's step one. Hopefully that's like a progression. Day one, you get out there, you put the skates on. Let's see where...
Oh, listen, he's been on the ice. This guy has not played, if I'm not mistaken, spring of 2022.
Since he lifted the cup, he hasn't played the game.
What are the odds? Being off that long.
Don't
and then
tell
coming
me
in.
The odds. Long. The odds are long.
Ugh.
I think, like most people, I just want it for him. I want him to... He was such a great player, so...
It'd be great. It'd be great. He's such a... Oh, my God. He was the heart and soul back then in terms of, yeah, McKinnon and, yes, Rantanen. But this guy was truly the guy.
Yeah. Yep.
So, good luck.
I was just going to read another text here. Tony from Port Coquitlam.
Port Coquitlam. Okay. Coquitlam, yep.
That's
where is that?
Vancouver. It's like a suburb area.
Okay.
Do you think that the Canucks are interested in Simon Nemich out of New Jersey?
By the way, people would be offended by me calling it a suburb. It's not, but that's the area.
He is one of maybe two or three big pieces in Jersey.
Yeah, number two overall pick 3 years ago. Played 60 games for them last year. And has played zero
what
this year.
What second pick overall even spends 1 second these days in the minors?
Let alone three seasons. His third season spending time in the minors. And so he had a quote. I sent you guys that quote today, I believe, where he basically said, I'm not asking for a trade right now, but let's keep an eye on the situation. I'm not real happy. Here it is, the exact quote in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I can't remember any number two draft pick that went to the farm for a third year. It's still too early to request a trade. If this situation continues, it will have to be addressed. So.
I don't think they've given up on him.
No, he's not. Year three, they don't want him on the team.
Isn't Philip Broberg kind of an example of a guy that just may need a few seasons? Now, he was not second overall Broberg, but he was a top 10 pick.
Yeah. Also, I don't think Broberg, I don't remember what the Oilers' D core was that whole time, but like New Jersey's D is Dougie Hamilton and Brendan Dillon, Siegenthaler and Kovacevic, Luke Hughes and Brett Pesce. Like, it's not like there's a gaping hole for him to step into there. It's a good D core. So. Maybe a fresh start somewhere would be good for him. I don't know if Vancouver would have interest. I think they would have interest in anyone who could help. I'm just not confident that a team sees a kid, says you're an AHLer, that they're that wrong. He's probably close to an AHLer right now.
What would you do? Would you do that for your Vancouver right now? Build something around him?
No.
Or too gambly?
No. To me, it's like the teams know first, Kip. They see him every day. They see him in practice. They know his personality. If he was good enough, he'd be in the league. So to me, it's... He's probably where he should be, or at least close to it. Not going to save the Canucks season.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a weird one. It is weird. Where was I going to go here? This is from Mike in Alberta. So this is a surprising text. Hey, guys, meant to text you when you had Gary Bettman on. He has never been in favor of a second team in TO. Why? Makes a ton of sense for a number of reasons. I wish I had grinded you to ask him that one, too.
Oh, God. He just shut me down so fast.
He shut you down to my Dumbo question.
We had a great interview with Gary Bettman.
Yeah.
That question, the answer, I assume, Kip, is that you're not expanding the market at all, right? There's no new fans, maybe some.
Honestly, I don't think it gets past the Leafs don't want it.
Yeah.
MLSE. Right. Why would I invite someone to take a slice off my pie?
And the idea would be that they would have to cut you a check. And we're talking billions of dollars.
I thought a couple of years ago that the anticipation of a split between Bell and Rogers, where we now know Rogers is going to get the whole pie, maybe there was a window there for somebody to come in, negotiate it, work it in the deal, i.e. Bell takes a second team in Toronto. That would have been fun.
What about Larry Tannenbaum and Kilmer? They eventually try to, make something happen.
Quickly, before we go here.
Yeah.
Blaney and Jackson's point. What's the word on Jonathan Toews?
Oh, yeah. That was like
been
a
quiet.
Blip, hey?
Yeah,
like,
quiet.
Taves wants to
Can
come
we ever
back.
Talk? Because you were off that day that came out.
Yeah.
That was that Friday that you were away.
Yeah.
Did you ever hear anything about that?
I've got him. Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
I've got him right now in that Klingberg. Yeah, maybe someone will take a chance on you if it doesn't cost them anything and doesn't upset the apple cart of rostered players on my team. But hasn't played for how long, and is he going to come back and help a contending team, or does he want to come back with a training camp in September? I'd take the latter right now if I was him.
Yeah.
Hit the ground running. People were like, maybe he's going to go to the Jets. It's like, the Jets? They're the best team in the league. Like, yeah. He's going to, get onto their second or third line? He hasn't played in 2 years.
The treadmill's moving pretty fast at the NHL to just be like, okay.
Here we go.
It's
like, 2 full years.
Yeah. That's a tough job.
Yeah. So
but got one more for
again,
us, Sam?
Wish him well.
Let's see. I would say no. To be honest with you, no. I would say we don't have that.
Sammy.
Yes.
What's going to happen with your Buffalo Bills this weekend?
Ooh, I'm really happy you asked.
You didn't game time them. I was very surprised.
Oh, you know what? I should have. I didn't think of it.
That's okay. I'm just going to throw in Stiplikov. Got 3 games for a head hit. That was a shoulder hit.
Anyway. I didn't think it was that bad. I think the Buffalo Bills are in tough this weekend. I've been listening a lot, reading a lot. Bills have a tough, kind of a bad run defense, and Derrick Henry runs the ball really well. He's kind of a mutant. He's
so does their quarterback.
Yeah, it's going to be, I think it's going to be a shootout. It's going to be freezing cold. It's going to be absolutely frigid. I think it'll be maybe a little bit more of a low-scoring game. I think the Bills got a chance. I would just, a little nervous. I think this might be Lamar and Derrick Henry's time. I really do.
You know what little factoid my dad gave me today that I was unaware of? That the Kansas City Chiefs were 15-2 this year and didn't score 30 points in a game.
I think that's right.
Wow.
Didn't score 30 points in a game.
Here's the thing with the Chiefs, and not to get too into NFL talk. It just doesn't matter how many points they score. Because when the game gets down to about 3 minutes left, they're either up one or down one. They get a crucial third down, and then they just kick a field goal and they win.
But this is what Tom Brady did his whole career.
Exactly. It
it's
doesn't
like
matter.
We're close, and we have Brady.
And yeah, we're close, and we have the guy that makes the right decision touch. Every single time, yeah. And
okay.
They're going to win.
We're getting ever closer to spring training. We get Blair and Barker back. So I usually go to them. Give me something on the Jays. Will they finally get a free agent?
That guy that called last week and said, it's $50 every time I talk with the Jays. It's kind of expensive for me. I know it's payday, but I don't want to pay too much.
Are they getting a pitcher?
The Jays made a trade today with Cleveland. They took on a big salary to get allocation money to try to get this Sasaki pitcher out of Japan. Hot shot, next guy coming over from there. No word on it. Down to the Dodgers and the Jays for a Japanese pitcher. That's gone really great in years past.
Come on, baby.
There might actually be like the saddest time capsule of all time that we all did in here. Anyways, we'll see. We'll see you on Monday.
The two shows that I wish they would strike from the internet are the first one
and that
show.
Yeah. But yeah, so there you go.
We believed we had
Otani. All right, what a week.
Really good week, boys.
Yeah, great week. Highlighted with the commissioner of the NHL, Gary Bettman. If you get a chance, you haven't heard it, download it. Find us on YouTube. Give us a rating and review if you get a chance. Have a great weekend, everybody. Stay safe, and we're back on Monday. Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Have a good one.